This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Number of years ago, someone said, "Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." I have to agree with that, don't you? There's just no place like home. I remember when I was going to college, and toward the weekend, I would get ready to go home. There have been times I would just get out, and when I did not have an automobile, and I'd hitchhike from Montgomery, Alabama to Mobile, Alabama. Why? I wanted to go home. Today we want to talk about the happy home. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could bring ourselves to believe that all homes are happy? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But I think that's not exactly the way it is. There are a lot of happy homes, and then there are a lot of unhappy homes. I read in one place that only one out of six homes are really happy homes. I don't know how they figured that out, but I do know that we want a happy one. And today we're going to discuss that topic. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we appreciate your tuning in to watch today. And today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're going to be offering a free Bible correspondence course. And I emphasize this course is free. It's not going to cost you anything. And you can take it at your home. We can send it to you, or you can take it online. But in order that you might get to know a little bit more about the course so that you'd understand whether or not you really want it, and how you can receive the course, what we're going to do is take a little short pause.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Now, I'm going to be reading from the third chapter of Colossians, starting in verse 18, and I'll read down through verse number 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Three of the most sublime words in the English language are mother, home, and heaven. You talk about home, and you touch the tender chords of the heart. You talk about home to the beggar, and you touch his heart. You talk to the prisoner in his cell about home, and you touch his heart. Many years ago, General Lafayette from France came to America, and they were wanting to honor this warrior. And when his ship came into harbor, there was the band playing the French national anthem, and he seemed to be unmoved. And then he was taken to a theater where, when the screen was pulled on the theater, there was a replica of the home in which he was reared. And it is said that he put his head in his hands, and he wept like a child when he saw the scene of his childhood. Home. This is the oldest institution that's ever been built. God made the home. In the very beginning of time, God saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone, And so he created a helpmeet or a companion suitable for the man. And when the woman was presented to the man, he said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And then Adam said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Is your home a happy home? Or is it home where there's quarreling and fussing and confusion? Are you really happy? Are you really happy? What can we do to have happiness and harmony in our homes? I want to just give you a few suggestions today. And you might want to get you a pencil and paper and write these down if you're having problems with having happiness in your home. First thing you need to do is make your home a place of love. I'm talking about real love, genuine love. Love is not some sick sentimentality. Love is what we do. Love is a verb. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Love suffers long and is kind, envies not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails." And if you've not tried the way of love, you've not tried your best. You've not done all you can do to make your home a happy home. Husbands, we're told in Ephesians 5:25, are to love their wives. How much? Just like Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, wives are to love their own husbands. And so we're to love one another in the home. There ought to be this love. Over the years, in performing ceremonies for couples that are wanting to get married, I've always tried to emphasize how important love is in their relationship. And their love for one another will grow and grow and grow over the years. But that which will keep them together during the hard times and the good times is the love they have for each other. You see, sometimes there are dark clouds that appear on the horizon of our lives. How are you going to endure those times? Well, when there are things that are going on in the family that are disturbing or upsetting, how are we going to endure? In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, if you'll notice in the 14th verse, he said, "And above all things, put on charity," that is love, "for which is the bond of perfectness." When you see families that are going this way and that way, separate, and the children don't want to have anything to do with the parents, maybe the parents don't want to have anything to do with the children, and the spouses don't want to have anything to do one with the other, that there's a problem. And the problem is their love for one another has gotten weak. Love is the glue, the cement, the bond that will hold that family together. You'll never have a happy family unless you begin to practice biblical love. And I refer you again to 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love. And we ought to put our name in there. "I suffer long, I am kind, I envy not." And go through there putting yourself in the place of the points that are made about love. You ought to be a person of love. Love. Show love. And one of the greatest needs in our world right now, it's for men and women to love one another. And if there's one place that ought to be an oasis of love in an ocean of hate, it ought to be our family. Well, secondly, if you want happiness in your home, you've got to learn that we've got to have some peace, and we've got to learn how to live at peace with one another. And we've got to maintain that peace. You say, "Well, how are we going to have peace? Peace in the home?" Well, let me give you some suggestions. First of all, be mature. Act your age. You know, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, and I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sometimes adults can act like little children. Put away your childish ways. Learn to grow up. If you want to have some peace in your home, kindness will help you to have peace in the home. And Solomon, the writer of the Proverbs, chapter 31, we're not certain it was Solomon, but in verse 26, in speaking about a good woman, he said, the law of kindness is in her tongue. What law do you have in your tongue? Is it the law of kindness? A husband ought to have the law of kindnesses in his tongue. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be you kind one to another. If there's one place we ought to practice kindness, it should be in our family. Parents ought to be kind to their children. Children ought to be kind to the parents. Husband ought to be kind to his wife. Wife ought to be kind to her husband. Kindness. Fact is, sometimes a man may be kinder to some woman with whom he works at the office than he is his own wife. He better be careful. You need to stop and you need to think. Be kind. Man died, and his wife had been a very difficult person to live with. She was not a very kind individual. But she walked over to his coffin, and she put a lone rose in his hand. And someone said, that's the kindest thing she ever did. Isn't that sad? She should have been kinder to her husband. If you want to have happiness in your home and peace in your home, we got to be kind to each other. And then we need to practice what we sometimes refer to as the golden rule. Jesus said, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do you also unto them. Are you treating your husband like you want your husband to treat you? Are you treating your wife like you'd like for your wife to treat you? You see, we need to treat each other as we would want to be treated. If you wouldn't want someone saying hard, ugly, mean, nasty things to you, you don't say those things to someone else. If you'll be kind, and if you will practice the golden rule, and if you'll act mature, be mature, then you're going to have peace in the home. We need to learn to be willing to forgive one another. None of us perfect, folks. There's not a person watching this telecast that's perfect. I'm not perfect. The only person that was ever perfect was Jesus, and he was killed and crucified because he was perfect. And he died because we were imperfect. We're not perfect. And when we do things that have hurt other people, we need to ask to be forgiven. And when people ask to be forgiven, we need to forgive. Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And when God forgives us, he doesn't hold it over our heads any longer. Their sins and iniquities, he said, I will remember no more, according to Hebrews 8, verse 12. So you see, we need to be forgiving one of another. If you want peace in your home, be forgiving. And so in the happy home, not only do you have love, but peace prevails. I believe also, although the children may not appreciate this, that in the happy home there is discipline practiced, and it's maintained in the happy home. If there was a failure with Eli, it was with his sons. In 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, in verse 13, the Bible says that Eli's sons made themselves vile. They were wicked boys. They did wrong, but he restrained them not. He did not discipline them. When I speak of discipline, There are two kinds of discipline. There is instructive discipline. Well, what I'm doing now, it would be referred to as instructive discipline. But there's also a corrective discipline. And when we teach our children and we teach them to do the right thing, and if that doesn't work, that's instructive discipline, then it might be that we have to practice corrective discipline. And a child that is left to himself, Solomon said, it brings his mother to shame. Children need structure. Children need discipline. You see, one of the real issues of modern humanity is living undisciplined lives. The reason there are so many social problems today is because people are undisciplined. They're not self-disciplined. Well, where do you learn discipline? The first place that an individual ought to learn to be disciplined is at home. And it may be that discipline is required of you. Your parents may have required you to do certain things. And if you did not do then you were corrected for not doing those things. You see, my mother-in-law taught my wife and I how to discipline our children. Now, she wasn't interfering in our lives, but she just said what she thought really would work. And she said a little keen switch will help you. And said you don't have to be harsh with children. Said you just you take that little keen switch and you might sting their legs a little bit. Said it kind of works. It said it gets their attention and they're going to do differently. And you know, we found that to be the case. I recall one time going off into Central Florida to preach in a gospel meeting, and the children were in the back seat, and that was back before children had to be put into seats and have lap belts on and the like. And so they were having a good time in the back seat, and it was a little rowdy. And so I pulled over to the side of the road, and I went off down into the woods, and I picked me a little switch that was about 2 feet long, laid it on the dashboard, never said a word, and there was peace in the valley. They understood what that meant. I wanted them to be quiet. And if they didn't, we might have to use a little bit of corrective discipline. See, we need discipline in the home. And that's where children learn to develop self-discipline. Self-discipline. But then if we want to have a happy home, then we must have God reverenced in our home. Do we really have God in our home? Is He welcome at your house? Now, I am well aware of the fact that we live in a society where so many people have rejected God. As a matter of fact, Romans 3:18 might describe them that better than can I, as though that they have no fear of God in their eyes. They don't have any fear of God in their hearts. They don't fear God in their lives. And when people have no fear of God, they're going to live any way they want to. They will do whatever they want to and when they want to do it. And that's the way many people live. One woman said that there's no one up there pointing up toward the heavens telling me what's right and what's wrong. No one up there telling me what I can do and what I can't do. That's the way a lot of people are today. But let me tell you, Daniel 2:28 says there is a God in heaven, and indeed there is. That this is a God in whom we live, in whom we move and have our being. And we need to pay attention to God. We need to listen to God. One day we're going to give an account of our lives to Him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 points that out. Romans 14 and verse 12 points that out. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So we may clench our fist and shake it in the face of God today, but there's a time coming that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So there's a time coming every individual who says, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus, will acknowledge them as being real. And I received a piece of mail recently from someone to whom we had mailed a little study course. And they sent it back and they said, "I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus. Don't send me anymore." Well, we're not sending anymore, but I feel sorry for those people. God needs to be in our homes. Listen to Joshua. "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said, "I want you to know, I don't know what you're going to do. You may serve the false gods of the roundabout, the other nations round about us. You may fall down and worship them, but I can tell you what we're going to do at our house. We will serve the Lord." In Psalms chapter 127 and verse 1, the psalmist said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Unless God is building your home, you're laboring in vain. "Except the Lord keep this city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." See, in those days when that was written, there were walls around the cities. And I've read in some places that some of those walls would be so thick that two chariots drawn by horses could pass side by side on top of those walls. And on the top of that wall, there would be a man called the watchman. And he had a lot of responsibilities, and one of them was to watch for the approach of the enemy and to warn the people that the enemy is coming and prepare to defend yourself against the assault. There are a lot of lessons to be learned there, but here's one for sure. Unless we have God in our home, you're going to have a near impossible task of keeping the enemy out. Listen to him. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." You need to have God in your family, God in your home. You'll never have a happy home unless God is reverenced and respected and obeyed in your home. The Jews were taught by Moses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy mind." And then he said, "And the words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." God is at the core of your family. That is, if you want a happy home. And when we have God as the core of our family, at the center of our home, it's going to be a home of prayer. It's going to be a home where the Bible is read. It's going to be a home where Jesus would be welcome. Is Jesus welcome at your house? Jesus Christ died on the cross that He might give us an eternal home. But we have a home on this earth. That's our physical home. And if you want it to be successful, it needs to be a Christ-centered home, a God-centered home. And if we want the home to be reverence God and respect God, our children need to know that they are welcome. This is your idea, preacher, but this is what I'm about to say is just my idea. I believe children know when they don't want you. You don't want them, rather, in your home. I think they know whether they're loved or not, that they're wanted. And when God is in our home, then our children become so important, they're so precious to us. that we want to have our children go to heaven one day. The home is so important today, and there's a breakdown of the home in modern culture. There's a breakdown of the family unit as God designed it. And I know there are those that would scoff at that idea of the family unit as the way God designed it. But is your home a happy home? It can be. It can be. And then finally, if you want a happy home, imitate Jesus. Paul said, "Follow me, I follow Christ." I believe that every father and every mother should be able to look into the faces of their children and say, "Follow us, because we're trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ." Do you want a happy home? If you want your home to be happy and in following Jesus, you must be willing to surrender to Him. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Are you following Jesus? Is He your friend, your daily companion, your intercessor, your Savior? He wants to be your Savior. Do you believe in Jesus? You said, "Brother Lambert, I believe in with all my heart." Are you willing to put the life of sin behind you and to repent of those sins and to give them up? He says, "Absolutely." Well, then would you, as a penitent believer in Jesus Christ, a confessing believer in Jesus Christ, allow some servant of God to baptize you into Christ, where we come in contact by faith with the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes us of our sins? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I want to thank you for watching today. And I want to urge you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. Now, this is your personal invitation. And also pick up the telephone now and call for the free Bible correspondence course. And you can take this course also online. Let us know if you want the course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.